إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه وبعد. My dear brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah An-Nur, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم ومن يطع الله ورسوله ويخشى الله ويتقي فأولئك هم الفائزون. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this ayat al-kareema mentioned four things. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَمَنْ يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ وَيَخْشَ اللَّهَ وَيَتَّقِي. The one who obeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who obeys Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who has the khashyat of Allah in his heart, and who has taqwa. So four conditions. أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْفَائِزُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that those are the people who are the faizun. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has used two words in the Quran for success. One is falah, muflihun, and the second one is fawz, faizun. There's a difference between these two words. We generally tend to translate both as success, but there is a very major difference between falah and fawz. Falah is success which is temporary. So for example, you do a class 12 exam, you are successful, alhamdulillah. So you have had falah in this exam. But that's not the last exam that you will do in your life. So after the class 12 exam, there is a college exam, and there is a post-graduation exam, and then there is a PhD exam, and then there is this and this. So you need, this is one success in one exam, surely that is good, but it is not the final success. Whereas fawz is the ultimate success, final success, after which there are no exams, no more tests, that's it. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is using the word faizun. These are the people who are the ultimately successful, people who, if they have these four qualities, then for them there is no chance of failure. So what are these qualities? I mean, look at them one at a time, inshallah. The first and foremost of them is ita'at of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَنْ يُوْتِيهِ اللَّهَ. The one who obeys Allah. I remind myself and you that obedience is not to do what we like to do. Yeah, I always tell people, eating dark chocolate is not obedience. I mean, you want to eat it anyway. So, I'm obeying my parents because I'm eating dark chocolate. That's not obedience. Obedience is to do that which we do not like to do, but which we do because of the one who commanded it. Whoever that might be parents, might be teachers, might be friends, whoever. We do it because of the one who commands it. Now think about this, why would you do something which somebody else is telling you to do when you actually don't want to do it? Yeah, I mean, it doesn't make logical sense. Why would you do that? You would do that only for two reasons. One is because you know the one who is commanding it knows better, has more information, has more knowledge in that particular matter, knows better. And secondly, that person has your best interest at heart. Right? So two conditions for obeying someone and doing what they tell you to do even when you don't want to do it. One is because you trust their competence and their ability and their knowledge. And second, because you trust their compassion for you. You trust their interest in you. The best example of this is to look at going to a doctor. You got some pain, you go to the doctor. The doctor says, you have to change your lifestyle. Eat this, don't eat that. Do this exercise, don't do that. This medicine, that medicine. Now, why do you... You don't do that for entertainment. You don't do that because, I feel like having something nice, so I go and drink some stuff. You do it because you know this will help me through my pain. This will cure my illness. Why do you obey the doctor even though you don't want to do that? Why do you obey the doctor? For these two reasons. One is the doctor knows more than me. And secondly, the doctor is interested in my welfare. Why would you, for example, voluntarily undergo an operation? Why would you allow somebody to cut you open? You're giving yourself, your life into the hands of the person, and you're allowing that person to cut you open. Why? For the same reasons. Not that, you know, it's been a long time since I lost some blood, so let me go and have an operation. No, I mean, you do that because you need it, because you know this is absolutely critical, essential, otherwise I will die or whatever the case might be, and I'm going to this surgeon, I'm going to this doctor because I trust the man, I trust the person's competence, and I trust the person has my best interest at heart. Apply this, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not subject to our examples, but apply this to the obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's orders, the first and foremost thing for us to remind ourselves, we all know this, but just to remind ourselves, the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are not for the benefit of Allah, na'udhu billah. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, huwa samad, Allah is free from all wants. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's orders are for our benefit. So why do we obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Why should we obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Because Allah knows better than me. And seriously, we have to ask ourselves this question. This is like an oxymoronic, very stupid question. You know, who will think that Allah does not know more than me? But if that is the case, then how come you do not obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How come you bring your so-called logic into place and say, well, you know, yeah, that's true, it's an order, but what but? I mean, so make up your mind. First of all, sit and decide, does Allah know more or do I know more? If you think you know more, go do what you want. But if you think Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows more, and if you think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's orders are for your benefit, then ask yourself, why am I disobeying Allah? So first question. Second thing is, do I think that Allah has my welfare at heart? Again, a stupid question, but one of those stupid questions which are very important for us to answer for ourselves. Because if I think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has my best interest at heart, then how come I do not obey Allah? So extremely important for us to obey. And to understand, as I mentioned earlier, that obedience is to do what I know I must do, even if I do not understand why, and even if I do not like to do that. And if you need any explanation, go back to the example of the doctor. We do not understand why the doctor prescribes something because we don't know enough medicine to understand that. We do not know why the doctor is ordering an operation because we do not know enough about that, right? Ask people who are undergoing chemotherapy to name the chemical that they are using. I'll give you $10,000 if the person can name the chemical. The guy who is actually, you know, using that chemical. We know chemotherapy because it's a commonly used term. What chemotherapy? Which chemical? Sulfuric acid? I mean, what is he using? You are taking it in. You don't even know the name of the thing. If I ask you for the molecular composition of that, that's, you know, even more gone case. Why do you do that? Because you trust the person who is asking you to do it. Because you believe that your life and death and your cure is dependent on that. So how come we do not apply that same standard for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu, who is the only one who is worthy of this standard being applied? So in Islam, as I have said many times before, there is no blind obedience. And this is incidentally a thing that you guys should keep in mind. If somebody challenges you, say Islam is blind obedience. Not blind obedience. Islam is not blind obedience. Islam is obedience with understanding. How is that? It is the same way as we obey a doctor with understanding. What do you understand? Do you understand exactly what he is saying? No, not always. Sometimes yes, sometimes no. But you still obey him. Why? Because you understand who the doctor is. So there's two kinds of understanding. One understanding is you understand why you are doing what you are doing. And in another case, you understand who is telling you to do that thing. So you still do it even if you don't understand why that is being said. Both are obedience with understanding. So there's no blind obedience in Islam. There's obedience with understanding. And our understanding is at a level higher than understanding in the pure mechanics of the thing, because we understand who is the one who ordered that. And that is why everything begins with ta'alluq with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. If you have ta'alluq my Allah, then this whole complication of struggling to obey and struggling to submit and all of that, what struggle? The struggle is because you do not know who Allah is. The struggle is because you have no connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you have a connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you understand who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, there is no struggle. Alhamdulillah, my Rabb tells me to do it, I will do it. The final example I will give you is this, which is that trust comes out of obedience. This is something to think about. We sometimes feel that I obey because I trust. That's not true. You obey because you believe the person who is telling you, and trust is a result of that obedience. And the example I always give is that of abseiling or rappelling. The first time I did rappelling off the walls of Sinagar Fort in Pune, one of Shivaji's forts. So we climbed on top of the thing, and the instructor who was showing us how to abseil and rappel down the thing, he put me in a harness, and I was the instructor for the whole gang. So I did it more out of shame than anything else. If I didn't do that, then how can I tell anyone else to do it? So he put me in the harness, he attached the rope, and then he told me this rope has a breaking strength of so many kilograms, which is equal to the weight of 6 buffaloes. And although I need to lose weight, I am still not that heavy. And so on and so on and so on. So I'm standing on top of the cliff, on top of the wall of the fort, on top of the battlement. Behind me is the whole wall and then the cliff. And it's easy, about maybe 400 feet down. And there are rocks. So I look back, there's 400 feet of space and the rocks at the bottom, right? And did I have trust at that point in time? I mean, I had trust in the sense that the guy telling me, Vasant Dima, he was the instructor, so he was telling me that this is what this thing will do and so on. So I had trust in that. And as I told you, I walked off that cliff only out of the fear of being shamed. But when I stepped off the cliff into space and I fell, and then he showed me how to hold the rope, and then the rope held me, and then I could go up and down depending on how I was holding the rope, that is when it became fun. The fear disappeared because I know I am now in control and I know that this thing works. And then it became fun, and then there was this trust to say, I am safe. So trust is the result of obedience. If I didn't obey that instruction of the instructor and he said, no, I'm not going off this cliff, I would never have trust in the entire action of abseiling or rappelling. So trust comes as a result of obedience. So trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalalu comes as a result of obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and not obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala halfway. Obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala completely. That the whole meaning of trust is what? The whole meaning of trust is to walk off the cliff. It's as simple as that. The whole meaning of trust is to walk off the cliff. So you're either doing it or you're not doing it. And you're doing it not because you understand the logic behind everything. You're not doing it because you understand the intricacies of the thing. You're doing it because you trust the one who told you to do it. So that's how the issue of obedience and trust is linked. So I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu to enable us to obey Him completely and totally, and to build this trust in our heart as a result of that obedience. Inshallah, tomorrow we'll look at the next one, which is Itaat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.